Jesus Christ was born in the city of David, and he is the Savior who was Christ the Lord. I have been having a short series of sermons on the genealogy of Jesus Christ. There are two genealogies recorded. One is in Matthew, and because Matthew wrote to the Jewish people, it is a genealogy that takes Jesus back to the family of Abraham. The Jewish people could relate to that very well because they were children of Abraham as well. But the genealogy in the book of Luke was written to Theophilus. Theophilus was a Greek friend of Luke who was a physician. And Luke gives the genealogy of Jesus that would relate to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. And so Luke takes his genealogy all the way back to Adam. And Adam is the father of the entire human race. And so Luke takes the genealogy of Jesus and shows that Jesus Christ is the son of not only of Mary, but he's the son of David, the son of Abraham, the son of Adam. And so everyone, the entire world, could relate to the fact that Jesus Christ is one of them. He is one of us. Even though we are Gentiles mainly, we are Gentiles. So we can look at Jesus, who was born like we are, although conceived in a totally miraculous way. As we heard read, that the virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and shall call his name Jesus. Mary asked this question, how can I bear a child since I'm a virgin? And the angel gave her those amazing words. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the holy thing that is born of you shall be called the Son of God. As we confess in the Apostles' Creed and in other creeds, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. So he is the son and Lord of Adam. But Adam's race ran dead because over Adam stood the curse of sin, as we heard read from Genesis 3. And in Romans chapter 3, it says, as in Adam all died, so in Christ shall all be made alive. So Adam's race ends in death. You read of Adam's race to the extent as you read in the book of Genesis that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and every imagination of his thought was only evil continually. That's what happened to Adam's race. It was a disaster. And God said, I will blot them out. It grieves me that I even made man. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and God sent the flood, destroying the whole world except what was in the ark. And the ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. The ark is a picture of how God saved the people, the family of Noah. But alas, when the ark was landed on the Mount Ararat and the earth dried and Noah went out of the ark, Noah got drunk. Noah's seed, his children, they didn't want to ever be destroyed by a flood again, so they said, we're going to build a tower So they built a Tower of Babel so that they would never be scattered by a flood. And they'd be high enough to avoid any drowning. So they built, they tried to build a tower. And God saw that they were trying to build a kingdom for themselves, their own way. And God confused their language so that no one could understand what the other was saying. And the whole effort came to nothing. And then God started a new line. He started a line with Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I want you to get out of your father's house. We're going to start a new line with you. Adam's race ran dead, and we're going to start a new line with you, Abraham. But you've got to get out of your father's house. You've got to go to the land that I'm going to show you. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And it was a wonderful thing. It was a new day in the family of God. Abraham was a new light. But Abraham didn't have any children. And God had said to him, I will make of you a great nation. And Abraham thought, you know, that's got to start with one. I don't even have a child. And his wife Sarah was unable to have a child. We don't know why, but it was an impossibility for her to have a child. So Abraham, under the suggestion of Sarah, tried to raise a seed from his servant girl, whose name was Hagar. And she bore a child, and his name was Ishmael. And Abraham said, oh, I want Ishmael to live before you, O Lord. But God said, no, this is not my will. A year from now, you're going to have a child with Sarah, your wife. And Abraham said, that's not possible. I'm 99 years old. My wife is 90. It's impossible for us to have a child. God said, you're going to have a child. And a year later, their child was born, and his name was Isaac. And it looked good for Abraham's race. It really looked promising. Here was a child born of promise, not of the flesh, but of promise. And Isaac grew. His family grew. And Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And the line of God went through Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. But that line also ran dead because Jacob's children, the 12 sons of Israel, they didn't stay faithful to the Lord either. They were brought to the promised land, and in the promised land of Canaan, they began worshiping other idols, other gods, and it displeased God greatly. He gave them that wonderful land of Canaan, and not long after that, you read that there was a generation that rose after Joshua who led them into the land of Canaan. A generation arose after Joshua that didn't know God, didn't worship him, didn't even remember the great things that God had done. Didn't know about that great event of the Exodus taking them out of Egypt. And they began to worship other gods. And the book of Judges theme, the whole theme of the book of Judges is that there was no king in Israel, so everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And so Abraham's children ran dead too. They ended up in exile. It was a terrible story. And so God intervened and came into the family of Adam with Abraham. But Adam's line ran dead, Abraham's did too, and God intervened in the line of Abraham and introduced David. With Abraham, the covenant was established, but it also ran dead because of disobedience. Because as you know, in all covenants, there are contained two parts. On the one hand, there's God's promise, but on the other hand, there's the responsibility of man to obey the Lord and to love him and to serve him. And that's where they failed. But into the family of Abraham, God sent David to establish the kingdom. So with Abraham, the covenant was established, and with David, the kingdom was established. And so there was hope for Adam in Abraham, but both Adam's family and Abraham's family ran dead. But there was hope for Abraham's family in David. So David was introduced to establish the kingdom. And what a wonderful day that was. God said to David, I took you out of the sheepfold. I brought you out to be the shepherd of my people. And David was called the friend of God, and it looked very good. And the kingdom was established in Jerusalem, and David was riding high. It was a wonderful day. Things looked so well. David said to Nathan the prophet, I have an idea. I have a nice palace here in Jerusalem, but the Lord, His church or his temple is only a tabernacle. It's only made a tent. It's only of a tent. I want to build a new house for God. I've got a beautiful house and I want to make a beautiful house for God. And Nathan said, that's a great idea. I think that would just be splendid. And so that night, Nathan went home and God spoke to him at night and said, Nathan, I want you to go back to David and tell him that's not a good idea. That's not a good idea. Your hands, David, are dripping with blood because of all the wars you were in. I'm not going to let you build a house for me. I'm going to have David's son build a house for me, Solomon. And so Nathan went back to David and said, David, you had a great idea, but the Lord is not in agreement with that idea. So you're not going to build a house. But, says Nathan, the Lord says to you, David, I'm going to build you a house. And I'm going to make your kingdom that it will be a strong and lasting kingdom. And David said, oh Lord, who am I? You took me out of the sheepfold. I'm nobody. I'm just the youngest of my family. Why should all this wonderful thing be for me? And the Lord said, this is my grace for you, David. And so the kingdom looked good. It looked very good. But you know the story. David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and in order to cover over his sin, he had Uriah murdered. And David's line was beginning to tremble and shake. David's son Absalom rebelled against him. David's son Rehoboam No, David's son Solomon, who was born of Bathsheba, looked really good. He was wise. He was given great, great privileges. But alas, Solomon's eyes were focused on women. And he married many, many wives. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And his heart was drawn away by these women. And his son was Rehoboam, and he became king in his place, and the kingdom was split under Rehoboam. And things just went from bad to worse until the kingdom of David in the line of Judah and in the line of Israel both ended up in captivity. And in the fullness of time, God sent his son. And he said, no, Joseph, you're not going to be the father of this child. No, David, you're not going to be the father of this child either. No, Abraham, you're not going to be the father of this child. And no, Adam, you're not going to be the father of this child. So he pushed Joseph, David, Abraham, and Adam. He pushed them all away. And he said, here is the Virgin Mary. And the Holy Spirit, God, the third person of the Holy Trinity, conceived in her womb a child who is true God, who is real righteous man. He is God of God, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father by whom all things are made. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the seed of Adam, the seed of Abraham, and the seed of David. And Jesus Christ was given the kingdom, as you read in that beautiful passage read already from Isaiah. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. The government, the control of the entire world. Jesus Christ is called the Son, the S-U-N. What the Son is to the earth, Jesus Christ is to us. Jesus is to the world what the Son is to the world. The absolute essential for life and for existence is in the Son. And Jesus is that. He is the one in whom everything is found. All blessing, all life is found in Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men by whom we must be saved than that blessed name of Jesus. Upon him is the king. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And his name is exalted to all the earth. He is the one in whom all the blessings of God rest, and he is the one through whom they come to us. He is the mediator between the offended God and the offending sinner, so that in Jesus Christ we are redeemed. Jesus said to Nicodemus of old, Nicodemus, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a person is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus came preaching the kingdom. He came preaching the fact that God is in charge and that Jesus has been given all authority. You know how it says it in Philippians 2. He did not consider equality with God something to be hung on to, but he emptied himself. Taking the form of a servant and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is the fulfillment of every promise of the Old Testament. He is the promise to us that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. He established the kingdom of God, and is on the earth right now. And the church is the powerhouse of the kingdom. And it's through the gospel that the gospel of the kingdom comes, and people come to know Christ and come to bow before the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the king in marriage. He's the king in the family. He's the king in business. He's the king in government. He's the king in education. He's the king in politics. He's the king in entertainment. Everything is to be subjected to Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Upon him rests the throne of God. Of his kingdom there will be no end. And what a wonderful truth that is. We say that the United Nations is the organization in which all the nations are gathered. Do you know the United Nations is under the control of Jesus Christ? Jesus is the King of all kingdoms. And he came into the world as a child. Upon him, God laid our sin. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the answer to every problem in the world today. Jesus is the answer. There is no other. And so the call of the gospel comes to everyone. Today, turn away from anything that you trust and turn to Jesus Christ. He is the one who gave his life that we may have life and have it abundantly. And so on this wonderful season of the year, we bow before Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Son and Lord of Adam, the Son and Lord of Abraham, and the Son of Lord and Lord of David, who fulfilled every promise in the Old Testament, and who is and ever shall be the King of kings and Lord of lords. And everyone said, our Father in heaven, thank you for this glorious gospel. Thank you, Lord, that there is an answer to the problem of mankind, to the problem of sin, to the problem of crime, to the problem of divorce, to the problem of war, to the problem of drugs, for the problem of alcohol, for the problem of adultery. There's an answer to every problem, and the answer is found in no one else than Jesus Christ, who came that we may have life and have it abundantly. For the Son of Righteousness shall rise and has risen, and there's healing in his wings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.